Listening Library presents Seekers of the Fox by Kevin Sands. Read for you by Robbie Damon. Chapter 1. Lachlan was dying. We could hear it in the way he was breathing. Each gasp, ragged and agonizing, broke at the end. A slow, we might have explained it away as pain, except now as we carried him through the brush, Lachlan paused between each breath, taking in no air at all. Every one of us knew what that meant. I suppose it shouldn't have come as a surprise. We watched our friend get run through the gut by a burning sword. The blade had been wielded by the Lady in Red, a fire elemental. A construct made of living flame, bound through magic in the shape of a woman. Lachlan had been burned all over his back, too. When we'd killed the enchanted elemental, it had exploded in a blazing burst. It was a miracle Lachlan was still alive at all. But now he was fading, and fast. What we needed then was a new miracle. We needed to find something to save him. The old man watched from inside my head. I could almost see him, lounging with his back to one of the trees, filling his pipe as I trudged past.
"What are the odds of that?"
he said. "Not good." "You think I'm a fool, don't you?" I said silently. The old man sounded amused.
"If you have to ask that question, then you already know the answer."
I sighed, because he wasn't wrong. He rarely was. It was one of the things I'd always found so infuriating. The old man, he'd never told me his real name. I'd just called him Old Man from the start, and he'd seemed to like that. Had raised me. He'd rescued me from the streets when I was 6 years old and taught me his trade. How to manipulate people. I'd learned to read their thoughts, their feelings, their hidden intentions, from the way they moved, from the words they said, or the words they didn't. The old man had turned me into a younger version of himself. A gaffer, a charmer, a silver tongue, or a con man, a swindler, and a dirty, rotten cheat, depending on whom you asked. The old man was gone now. He'd abandoned me half a year ago, after one too many fights between us. When I finally told him I wouldn't run any more gaffes that might snaffle decent people, but he wouldn't leave my head.
"Good thing too, boy," he said, puffing on his pipe. "You should have at least one person in this skull of yours talking sense."
"I don't need you to remind me," I grumbled, trying to save Lachlan, with his injuries so severe. It was ridiculous. And yet, I still led this band of misfit thieves into the trees, away from the smoking volcano Bolkenother. Deep inside it, in the ancient dragon temple, we'd defeated Mr. Solomon, a powerful weaver of magic, and his elemental. Now bent over my back aching, I followed a faintly glowing trail of red that cut through the grass underfoot. The trail wasn't easy to see. Would have been impossible, actually, if it wasn't for the artifact that had attached itself to my left eye socket. The eye. The dragon's eye, to give it the full name the weavers called it, was capable of seeing enchantments and the magical energy that powered them. Life. That was what I followed now. The glowing red trail was Lachlan's life energy, draining out as he died. It was leading us somewhere, to something, though none of us knew what. On its own, the trail would have been no trouble to spot. The problem was that everything living, plant or animal, had a glow through the eye, each with its own special color. The grass shimmered with a ghostly green light, and it was almost bright enough to obscure the red we needed to follow. Keeping sight of it took all my concentration. And if that wasn't bad enough, I was getting dizzy. Seeing the ordinary world and the magical glow at the same time made my head spin. The longer I kept the eye uncovered, the worse it got. Even now I was stumbling. I'd have gladly handed off the bloodhound duties, but the eye wouldn't let go of me. After I'd stolen it from the High Weaver, Dara the Seventh, the greatest enchanter in the world, the eye had bound itself to my socket by some strange magic I didn't understand. Sentient and completely untrustworthy. The eye actually talked to me in my head. Or at least it used to. The eye's voice had been silenced somehow by Mr. Solomon, the weaver who'd hired us to steal the thing. I'd have asked him about it if he wasn't already dead. Meryl's voice came from behind me. She sounded out of breath.
Could you move a little faster, Cal?
She had every right to be tired. Mariel, Gareth, and Foxtail had been carrying Lachlan's unconscious body, trading him off amongst each other since we'd left the Dragon Temple. She shifted him over her shoulders.
He's heavier than he looks.
Wish I could, I said. But if you'd like to have your eye ripped out and the dragon's eye put in your skull instead, I'd be more than happy to trade places.
Well, when you put it that way.
She said it lightly, but underneath I could hear her frustration, fear, and anger. Frustration at our slow pace, fear for Lachlan, and anger, not at me, but at herself. Like I said, the old man taught me how to look deeper into people, to see the hidden messages they gave away without even realizing it. It let me understand the real reason Mariel was mad. Mr. Solomon had hired the five of us because we made a well-rounded team. Foxtail was a second-story girl, a cat burglar, with an uncanny knack for getting in and out of places unseen. Gareth was a book boy, our head of intel, skilled at uncovering information and even more skilled at sleight of hand. Lachlan was a runner, a gopher, a former breaker with an intimate knowledge of the city of Carlo's underworld. He knew where to get the tools to do the job. And Mariel was an acrobat. She'd never told us where she'd come from, and I hadn't been able to figure it out. She had a subtle accent I couldn't place, which was odd, because the old man had taught me just about every accent in the Empire. However she'd come from, in addition to having an otherworldly grace, Mariel was an expert with throwing knives, which she kept hidden in secret pockets all over her dress. She'd clearly been trained to fight. The rest of us weren't, particularly Lachlan, who, at only 10 years old, was small for his age, and as good-natured as any thief I'd ever met. So if anyone was going to get hurt, Mariel thought it should be her. She wasn't being fair, of course. No one can stop every bad thing from happening. Besides, she was wrong. It wasn't her fault. It was mine. It had been my plan that had led us to rob the High Weaver. It was my foolishness that had lost us the eye, and my own, when Mr. Solomon had the Lady in Red tear it from my head. And it had been my plan again to take the eye back from him, then seal the crack in the earth he'd made to tap into the primeval magic under the ground and prevent our world, Aerith, from splitting apart. So, if anyone should be dying, it was me. The old man rolled his eyes.
What a tedious thing a conscience is, he said.
How would you know? I said. It's not like you ever had one.
And I'm happier for it. But go on, punish yourself if it makes you feel better.
Seeing Lachlan healed will make me feel better, I said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?